Welcome back to Exploring Boys Education, a regular podcast produced by IBSC for leaders and educators in boys' schools around the world. I'm Bruce Collins, IBSC Director of Member Engagement. In this episode, aptly named Boys, Breath and Balance, Director of Wellbeing at St. Andrew's College in South Africa, Tracy McKenzie, shares some of the practical things they're implementing to support boys' well-being. Tracy recently presented a very well-received workshop at the IBSC Southern African Regional Conference, and in this conversation she shares the philosophy behind St. Andrew's holistic and organic approach to student well-being. And we'll also explore how they are fostering long-term habits for mental health, the importance of a collaborative support network, and we'll explore the fascinating concept of breath intelligence and its practical application in helping boys manage stress and find balance.
For those who don't know, Tracy and I worked together at St. Albans College in Pretoria, South Africa for a number of years, and Tracy moved on to a different school, also an IBSC member school, and is doing some wonderful work there around well-being and looking after boys. And I just wanted to speak to you, Tracy, about what you're doing. But before we dive into that, maybe you could share a little bit about St. Andrew's College and also your role there and what you're busy with.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to share one of my many passions. Probably the gem of St. Andrew's is its location. We are an independent all-boys school, full boarding. We do have some day boys, but they are quite a small cohort of our intake. And we're situated in Makanda in the Eastern Cape, which is a small, it is actually a city because we have a cathedral, but that doesn't say much, actually. It's a small village, really. And as I say, I think that is one of St. Andrew's USPs, if you like, because we've got access to such amazing fauna and flora, to such amazing beaches. And that certainly is something that I draw on a lot. But also, I think for our boys as well, to have access to that and to have that on their doorstep, and particularly in terms of their wellness, serves them well. So I teach English primarily. And over the last 2 years, this is my second year of doing it, I run the wellness programs. It's very organic, it's growing, but certainly our avenues and how we navigate the spaces have to be quite fluid depending on kind of what's cropping up for us. My main role is obviously to ensure the well-being of the boys, but you know, in doing so, it trickles over into staff as well, which is also a very affirming and important space, because happy staff mean happy children at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I suppose particularly in an environment where you're kind of all boarding, you know, during term time, it's full on for everyone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And our housemasters and sort of boarding house staff are, you know, term time is flat out.
Tracy, I like that word you used, organic, because it almost feels to me like the whole idea of wellness and well-being is by nature organic, you know. It's all very well and good developing a policy for this and a policy for that. And maybe it is good to have, you know, some guidelines, but like you say, it has to be responsive to the moment. So as you think about your program or your approach, maybe we can start right there with the philosophy or principles behind St. Andrew's approach to student well-being.
The overarching principle is the safety of our children, the safety of the boys in our care. And that doesn't necessarily mean physical safety, but it means safety around the way in which they make decisions. Are they able to do that in an informed way? So, you know, there's an element of prevention and proactivity in some of what we offer. But I think also what really is important is the sustainability of the programs that we do put in place. It's about developing long-term habits over those quick fixes. And I suppose those, for me, those are my overarching principles, this idea of developing long-term habits and ensuring that at any one point, whether it's pre-decision-making or post-decision-making, our boys have got avenues and access to the support, whatever support it is that they need.
I love that whole idea of developing the habits of well-being, you know, particularly if you think about the mental health crisis facing men that's well documented now. You know, it just seems to me so important for boys when they're in that adolescent space to be able to develop things early on that they would be able to draw on in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think so much of what I'm trying to do is actually, it's not about the programs, it's about self-awareness. And we'll get into that a little bit later when we talk about breath. But, you know, it's about noticing, because before anybody else can see things, if you're in tune, you can notice it for yourself first. And for me, that's super important.
Trace, I can imagine that, you know, when you think about doing this in a school like yours, you have to have collaborative support. And I'm sure this is true for many boys' schools around the world, or folk who are in your role. You know, it's not something you can do alone. I know St. Andrews has housemasters, tutors, boarding staff, other people on the wellness team, and also, you know, professionals that go beyond our understanding of things as educators. I wonder how you look at that team effort to collaborate and create a comprehensive support network for boys.
We have a wellness team that comprises our resident psychologist, our physio, our biokinetist. We obviously have well set up sanatorium, and we have three sand sisters that work there. They are permanent members of staff, not all at the same time. And then we've got a learning support professional. And then on the sort of more pastoral side, obviously we've got our housemasters and house duty staff. We've got our chaplain. And then our three deputy headmasters are also integral in infiltrating that space in terms of safeguarding, in terms of academic support and extension, actually. And then obviously discipline and sport, which play a huge role. So we've got a big team, and what we have done is we've broken those teams into the workforce, so the people that are on the ground and that are actually doing, you know, having the interactions with the children, and then, you know, the ideas, and just ensuring that our processes are in place. We've got a host of people. We're very privileged, very fortunate enough to have people in those particular roles that can pick up where need be. What we do run the risk of, and I suppose most schools would run the risk of this, is working in silos, where, you know, learning support does this and, you know, the physios do this, when actually we know that a boy who sustained a ACL tear due to a football match or something like that, his emotional well-being is going to be impacted, and very likely, you know, that will knock on to, you know, potentially in the classroom as well. Having all the support is amazing, but it's not amazing if you don't communicate effectively.
I get the real sense in, you know, Tracy, that the wellness team and its cohesion appears really central to the efforts you have. And I love the fact that you spoke about all these different facets and the connection between those, and moving away from a siloed approach. You know, the boy you spoke about in this example who tears his ACL and is no longer part of a team. I mean, even his sense of belonging, the impact that has on his feeling of self-worth, or where he fits in, or what he's part of or what he isn't. So maybe you can dive in a little deeper to those different facets, you know, as you think about the academic, physical, spiritual, and psychological needs of boys.
In a case where we've got a boy, I mean, I've currently got a boy in my tutor group, actually, who has that ACL tear and has undergone massive surgery and relies heavily on his sport as his identity. And suddenly he doesn't have that identity anymore. And the ripple effect has been immense. But what has been so beautiful, and it's largely down to the child himself as well, in terms of the fact that he was able to acknowledge and able to identify how he was feeling and was able to find the support that he needed. I went last night actually to go and watch him sing in the choir. And there he's finding his space and his identity as one of the choristers, which I just think is amazing. And he's also involved in, and this is where our sports department has just been so amazing, is that they've drawn those boys alongside them and involved them in the coaching of the junior teams. In fact, 2 years ago now, we had one of our first team rugby players who sustained a debilitating injury at the start of the practice, getting honors for rugby as a result of what he had done in the under 14 side. And I just, I mean, for me, that is just beautiful.
So, you know, it reminds me, Trace, of something our executive director, Tom Betty, says quite a bit. She says, you know, boys' schools are good at creating opportunities for boys to find what they're good at and then give them opportunities to develop what they're good at. And it just strikes me there that I think what's wonderful about a lot of boys' schools is the breadth of experience that a boy can have at a school. So, you know, you're talking about a boy losing his sense of belonging in a sports team, but finding it in the choir or elsewhere or in coaching. And I think that's where that flexibility, that organic nature of things is important, because it's not just about addressing his well-being in a formal way, but are there ways that we can create space for boys who are maybe struggling in one area but might find meaning somewhere else?
Yeah, no, it's hugely exciting, and I think that's where, like you say, that cohesion of our staff is so important.
So let's talk about that a little, Trace, because I think you spoke about your challenge as kind of the being in charge of well-being, of drawing all these different sort of pillars and people together and having this kind of cohesive approach. How, when you look at it holistically, like we've been speaking about, how do you integrate the work of your team, the wellness team, so many important folk and different layers and different levels, with everyone else at school so that this isn't just an effort of the wellness team or the director of wellness, but everyone on the team buys into the fact that boys' well-being is important?
You know, Bruce, that's a hard question to answer, because I'm not sure we always get it right. But, I mean, it's certainly not for lack of trying. Our chaplain talks about boys having an inner circle. So, you know, that would be their housemaster, their parents, their teachers, you know, for every subject, the wellness professionals that they are connecting with, whoever they might be. And I suppose at its very core, it's ensuring that those people, that circle, is well informed. You know, the sort of the practical ways of that we're doing that is, you know, weekly meetings with our wellness professionals, and we literally sit and discuss each boy case by case. And then, you know, obviously from that, there are action points, and it needs to be shared with the people that need to know. So they're in their inner circle. Things like individual education plans exist at any one time. People can access the boys that they teach, what it is that the boys are happy to share with their teachers and coaches. And that, you know, that's something that's developing and evolving all the time. I think it's those initial small meetings with our professionals, and then it's important that we have a chain of communication. And that what actually I think is so important is that feedback loop. So you've communicated with the people in the circle, and their response or their feedback is actually what allows us to move forward. It's almost like a spiral, if that makes sense, where we can evolve.
It seems to me, you know, in many ways, and we will speak about sort of specific interventions and programs in a bit, because I think those do have their place. But what really strikes me, Tracy, is your focus on the individual. It's about understanding an individual boy's journey. And so I'm wondering, you know, as you're doing this kind of plan of supporting individual boys, of looking at the holistic implementation of wellness, how do you create a culture where boys are encouraged to proactively seek support? You know, how do we help boys to overcome that potential stigma instead of it resulting in a crisis down the line?
Again, not an easy question to answer, and every individual is individual. One of the things that we've implemented fairly recently is the student affairs and wellness team. So each house has got boys in each grade who are their representatives. I meet with them on Monday evenings, and we discuss what's happening in their spaces, in the house, and you know, react, but also try and be proactive about, you know, what they might be facing. So that's one small little thing that we've got in place, because I think boys respond so much better to boys. We can pretend that a boy is going to come and find a teacher first when when something's going down, but we know that that's not the case. Just having the peer-to-peer relationships, the boys knowing who it is that they can turn to should they need it is not fail-safe, but certainly it's a small thing that we can do to create an awareness around it. Insofar as destigmatizing mental health, again, I think it's about awareness. I think it's about talking about it in more spaces than just the life orientation classroom. It's about living it. It's about as adults, our own vulnerability, and sharing stuff about ourselves, not oversharing, obviously, but sharing stuff about ourselves that matters and that's important to us. We're trying really hard to build into our program from the grassroots, from grade 8, empowering the boys to be aware of themselves. And really, I mean, it sounds quite philosophical and quite schwa, but, that's the root of it, actually.
Yeah, I think self-awareness is key, but I like the fact that, you know, alongside that self-awareness, you are. And I want to acknowledge, Tracy, I mean, you've said it a number of times, you know, I think all schools are in progress. Any program is in progress, you know, so I don't think we ever have it all together. But I think just having structures in place, you know, you talk about the peer kind of connections and the regular conversations you have with those boys who are part of that team. I mean, it all shows, I think, intentionality from the school side that your well-being is important to us. So, you know, and I think over time, those cultures are created.
One of the things that the boys in the student affairs and wellness team have done is that the senior boys have had hot chocolate evenings with the junior boys. And there's not a staff member, where the staff member comes in is actually in a reflection afterwards. So they've got a, you know, so it gives me peace of mind that, you know, what's gone down has been appropriate, has been helpful. And I think that's really valuable for the senior boys to go, here's the reflection that the junior boy shared with me about how the evening went. And that's been really powerful for the senior boys because they've gone, actually, like what we shared and what we discussed, I thought maybe was a bit frivolous, but it really meant a lot to the little guys.
Yeah, and it just strikes me, you know, that's just a way also of helping boys acknowledge how they feel, of really engaging with how they feel, that sense of self-awareness. Tracy, you presented at the Southern African Regional Conference on breathing. And so I want to kind of maybe hone in on that because I think that's something that I think you feel is helpful for boys. But, I think it's something that I've heard in various places, you know, being implemented in boys spaces. And so I wanted to just get a sense of your experience of that.
How much time do you got?
You use an African word, perfumla.
Yeah, perfumla, which means breath. It means it's like so many sort of Nguni words. It means more than just one thing. It means breath. It means air. It means breathing. And so to perfumla, if you were to use it as a verb, is to breathe.
But there's kind of a deeper connotation to that, that's in that breath is
life.
So you spoke about breath, boys, and balance in your presentation. And I wonder if you could just, as a sort of introductory kind of moment before we speak about why breath work in adolescent boys, maybe you could explain the concept of breath intelligence and the actual practice of this.
Just to give some context to my sort of understanding of breath work as well, I first came across James Nestor's book, Breath, which if you are a sciencey person and need to know the sort of the fund, do yourself a favor. It is really, really great. And then I attended a 3-day workshop on breath. People are amazed that you can spend 3 days on breath, but you really can, with a South African woman, Dr. Ila Manga, who wrote a book called Umoya, another one that you need to find yourself reading. Essentially, you know, my main takeaway, well, there were so many takeaways, but everything is connected. You know, when we talk about the very physical act of breathing, which we do automatically without thinking of it, it is connected to our emotional state. you know, obviously it's a very physical thing. It's connected to our spiritual state, and that, like, everything in the body is connected. And I found that such a beautiful metaphor for our physical, spiritual, and emotional being as well. Everything is connected. In terms of the art, the awareness, the regulation, and the transformation, you know, breath intelligence, I think, well, in my experience, was coined by Ila Manga. And she talks about how, you know, our first step is awareness, where the breath is landing. And that can tell us a lot about our emotional state. But before we can regulate, we need to have that awareness. If, you know, it kind of builds on one another. And I suppose where I spend a lot of my time at the moment is in the awareness section and the regulation section. And transformation, I mean, I think, you know, there is, breath is transformative. It's a bridge. And again, at the risk of sounding completely schwa, it's beautiful. If you take a moment to just step back and really take note of what your body is able to do without you even telling it.
Yeah, you're talking about that awareness, taking a step back, realizing, just getting a sense of where you're at. If you look at the lives of our boys these days, the busyness of school is one thing. But outside of that busyness at school, there's social media, there's, the kind of intense sort of overstimulation that I think all of us have, but children and teenagers in particular these days, it's like that moment of acknowledging breathing or just taking a break. Like it's almost a non-existent concept. And so how do you regulate? How do you think about things deeply if you're not stepping back and breathing? So I just feel like that's the importance of it, you know, particularly for busy, busy, busy boys.
You see it, you know, what it does to these children, you know, and how they experience life through their screens is, you know, it's harrowing, actually. And I, you know, if I'm completely honest, I don't think we know the half of it in terms of their literal physical sympathetic response to what they're viewing, to what they are consuming, I guess is probably the best word. That awareness and that starting to be able to regulate is so important.
Talking about, you know, adolescent boys, which is kind of the group that you work with largely at St. Andrews. Well, why did you land on this idea that breathing is so vital for their well-being and their stress management? You know, how have you possibly seen it helping them shift from, I think, what you call danger zones, you know, those fight, flight, freeze spaces, to just having a sense of, okay, I've got this, I can cope, I can move forward, I know what to do next. I know I need to ask for help. I know what decision to make. Why is it so vital for our boys? And maybe we've touched on it with the busyness, but I'd love to get your perspective.
Firstly, it's so accessible. It costs nothing. We all breathe, you know? Spoiler alert. And actually where it was really born, you know, in my experience at St. Andrews, where it was born from was a grade 9 class who would come in every day. I mean, like, just all over the place. All manner of dysregulation, to be honest with you. There was fight, there was flight, there was freeze, there was some fawn. Honestly, it was wild. And you know, in 20 years of teaching, I kind of looked at this class and gone and went, you know, I've actually never experienced this level of dysregulation. I have to do something. But for myself, I have to do something for myself to help me get through these lessons. And so we implemented, I think it was towards the end of the first term, 2 minutes of breathing. I didn't really know what I was doing. It just was kind of intuitive, really, where I would get them to plant both feet on the floor and feel their feet, again, awareness. And, you know, we would maybe do like a little bit of a body scan or something like that. And I found that actually they responded pretty well to it and were a lot calmer. And then, you know, it became our thing. Like every morning they would come in, they'd put their books down and without even me needing to, I mean, it took a while to be fair, but they would eventually just come in and automatically take up the stance. And we had a, you know, so then I started doing my research and looking at techniques and things that we could do. And Bruce, what probably is one of my, you know, highlights of my teaching career is walking into invigilating a physics exam. And I'd taught them a breathing and tapping technique where they could put their hands on their collarbones underneath their blazers. And we talked about this because we talked about, like, you know, just it being discreet and not being, you know, no one needs to know. And there, the most unlikely child was sitting with his feet flat, his eyes closed, breathing, I don't want to say deeply, breathing widely into his ribs, into his diaphragm, while he did his bilateral tapping. And I just thought, my life is made. And it's been fascinating, because made me realize, like, really, really, truly, that it is impactful. And it does help boys self-regulate. So that was, sorry, I think I went on a complete tangent there. It's so powerful when someone can go, do you know what, I'm feeling X in this moment. Hey, I've got some tools, and I can help myself. For me, that's just that's what it's all about.
So Tracy, beyond, you know, I love this story of how organically, you know, you had this real problem you needed to deal with in a grade nine class. You know, how has this sort of moved on? You know, you also spoke about that boy kind of tapping. You know, obviously that's an extension of this. You're giving boys tools of how to, like, you know, regulate and be in the moment and deal with their anxiety or whatever it is. How does this kind of fit into school life more broadly? You know, are there ways in which, you know, other boys are learning this technique outside of your grade nine English class, for example, and how's that happening?
I mean, we've been very fortunate in that our head of academics is right behind us here. And so in the grade eight year, all grade eights experience a wellness class once a week. So, you know, and I think it's important to start at the bottom with the young boys, giving them those tools so that when they arrive in matric or grade 11, you know, they're not, you know, they've got the tools and they're not confronted with, like, you know, a sympathetic nervous system that is just flipping out. So yeah, that's one way in which we are implementing, and, you know, it covers, you know, lots of journaling, lots of breath work and breath work techniques. We look at how, you know, there's a need for sometimes breath can be used to upregulate and energize us, because sometimes that's what we need, actually, or to downregulate and calm, and also to balance. And so we, you know, those are my sort of three, you know, in terms of the regulation, the energizing, relaxing, and balancing. So all grade eights are exposed to that, which is base level. And then on a Wednesday, and this is probably the most exciting part of what's happened in the last year or so, is we have a 2-hour session on a Wednesday before lunch with grade eights and nines, and it's the phys ed session. And what we're starting to implement is modules of things that appeal to boys. In the first term, we were able to offer juggling and slacklining, yoga. There was one group that went and played board games. There has been a new module, which the grade nines took part in last week, boxing. And it was just incredible. So there are these little pockets where boys get to actually express themselves in different ways. Oh, there was a drawing class as well, which was, you know, you'd think that it wouldn't be taken up, particularly by grade eights and nines. But my goodness, it was so, yeah, so sought after. So that's kind of, so grade eights have their wellness session, eights and nines have their phys ed session. So again, that's once a week. So the grade eights are actually getting close to 3 hours a week of dedicated me time, which I just think is so cool. And then obviously, you know, the hope is that as they get older, you know, they'll be able to access and be able to identify what it is that they need and seek out those things. So those are the sort of very almost like concrete things that happen. And then outside of those, on, you know, we have quiet time between 5 and 6. So that's dedicated to doing things, you know, you can do your homework, you can go to one of your clubs, but ideally it's actually meant for downtime. it was actually super cool. Our physics teacher offers drawing outside the lines and doodle nights. And, you know, so they're little things that the boys can access as and when they come up, particularly for the older grades. You know, weekly there's a small cohort of boys that it runs on a 6-week basis. They can apply or request to be a part of it, or they get invited. It's called Pathfinders. And again, it's very much about introspection and looking at who they are, where they are, and how best to be the best version of themselves.
I'm just getting the picture, Tracy, that it's about understanding your context. It's about understanding boys who you have in your care and being responsive to their needs, but also being intentional about providing whatever is right for your context. Tracy, you've shared so much, and I want to acknowledge as well, there's probably a lot of other stuff that's also happening in your kind of space, but in the interest of time, I wish we could speak for hours about this, but I'd love to give you the opportunity just to share some key takeaway or advice that you would offer other boys' schools who are looking to enhance their support systems for boys.
Yeah, I think that's quite easy. Just start, honestly. And when you have those moments where you think, gosh, I'm making no difference, I'm making no impact, that is not the truth. Impacting one boy is really, it's enough. And you do more than you know you're doing. And you know, the nature of boys is that it will be 10, 15 years before they can look back and go, wow, that actually really, that support meant that I am where I am. Or, you know, and I think, you know, if you've been in the game for long enough, you as a teacher, you know that, is that your impact is felt far beyond, you know, the 4 years or the 5 years that the boys are with you. So yeah, just start and keep on keeping on.
I think that's it. Don't give up. Don't give up on them. Even the difficult boys, I think, acknowledging that often the struggles are because they're facing something that we can support.
The ones that you feel deserve it the least are the ones that need it the most.
I think that's a beautiful way to wrap up, Trace. I think that'll leave us with many things to think about, and maybe many boys who we know, who we think about immediately when you say that, to consider them. But thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Like many boys' schools around the world, I think St. Andrews is doing really wonderful things for the boys in their care, and thank you for just giving us a glimpse of what that looks like in your space. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity. It really is wonderful.
What a rich and thought-provoking discussion on fostering well-being in boys through connection, awareness, and the simple yet profound power of breath. I'm struck by the importance of Tracy's emphasis on boys' safety, the impact of long-term mental health habit development for boys, and moving beyond siloed support to an integrated network in a boys' school that addresses academic, physical, spiritual, and psychological needs of boys. Tracy's advice to just start, and the reminder that impacting even one boy is significant, is a powerful message for all of us in boys' education. The journey of supporting boys' well-being is ongoing, and insights like these are invaluable. So thanks again, Tracy. For those of you traveling to Boston in June, as Belmont Hill School hosts the 2025 IBSC Annual Conference, all of us at IBSC look forward to being together with you and learning more about educating boys. See you there. And until our next episode, keep on championing boys' education.